Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. I don't have a lot of time this morning. First Communion Sunday, it takes a little bit more time, but that's all right. We are going to share some word with the time that we have. Is that all right with you? All right. So thank you for being here, not just those here in the sanctuary, but also those that are tuning in on iChurch, going out in English and Spanish live stream this morning. If you would, in your word, turn to Nehemiah, the 2nd chapter, the 17th verse. Many times there comes seasons. The word tells us there's a time to tear down, a time to build up. And so we're finding that in our life are those times. You know, maybe we didn't build on the right foundation before. Or maybe we still have some things yet that need to be built up and developed in us. And so to do that, we have to have an inspection. We have to have an examination of our lives. And what he provides for us is the opportunity to rebuild and to build. And so we were talking about this spiritual architecture and design for life. If you were going to design your life, who would you allow to design that life? I mean, if you're designing a house, or let me put it this way. Let me go for the most descriptive and the most discriminating crowd that can find flaws. Ladies, where are you at? So when you want to do something, you do it. So let's say there was going to be this occasion, and you were given the ability to have a dress design that only you would wear. Because, you know, if you get it off the rack, somebody else got it. But if you want, like, your own unique thing and you want to put input on it, what kind of designer would you get to? Versace. Somebody said Versace. Okay, so let me say, yeah. The spare no expense. It's on someone else's dime, right? And so you wouldn't just find any old designer, right? And why wouldn't you just find any old designer? Because yell it out. You don't want nothing cheap. What else? You want the best? You want to be in style? You want all this stuff, right? So you're not going to scrimp when it comes to the design of that dress. Because, brother, we don't care too much about the design. I mean, you know, Quincy will show up here in anything, you know. But ladies, you know, you want... So when we talk about design in our life, I mean, who would be the best life designer? See, because from what I heard, he is the one who designed the heavens and the earth, and he's the one that created all of creation. So, my God, he knows the ins and the outs. He knows what's best. So why would you even trust yourself to design your life? Because We have made a mess out of all kinds of things. And we tried design. That's why y'all here. Because you had already tried to design your life and it didn't work out very well. So you say, I need someone greater than I to design my life. The creator of the heavens and earth, my God. There's nobody like him. Tell your neighbor, there's nobody like him. Mm-mm. So when we go to Nehemiah, these were his people. These were God's people, Yahweh's people. And he had given them everything, and they stepped outside of his protection and created things from their own understanding. And at every turn, they were always faced with destruction. I mean, my God, if my God raised up the Red Sea, I didn't have a way out. There was no way. The enemy was coming from the back. And the only thing that was in front of me was a sea. And my destruction was imminent. My death was imminent. And then even in that moment, a rod is stretched in faith. And the waters jump up and create a pathway to walk across to get away from our enemies. I mean, if that had happened to me, I would serve him for the rest of my life. I mean, there would be no doubt, right? But those folks saw his power. They saw the fire by day, the fire by night, and the cloud by day. And they still was tripping. And then they were faced with destruction. So by the grace and mercy of God, they found themselves back in their homeland, but their homeland was toe up. The wall that protected them had been burned and crumbled. And so this is where they are. So Nehemiah 2nd chapter 17th verse. And I said to them, you see the distress that we are in? How our homeland where we used to live that was given us, Jerusalem, is lying in waste. And the gates, therefore, are burned with fire. So they're like, come on, let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And the word is translated that we be no longer in disgrace. Because we claim that we had a God that did this and that, and yet our stuff is burnt up. Our stuff is tore up because of our disobedience. All we had to do was just do the right thing, right? And so go to the fourth chapter of Nehemiah really quickly, and it's just two chapters away. So we serve a God that if we claim to be believers, I don't like using the term Christian so much because everybody say they're Christian, but there's no walk, there's no fruit. I know a Christian by fruit. What do you do? What do you say? How do you act? That tells me, right? That tells me who's a true believer. So I see so many people say that they're believers, right? But there's no fruit. So here we go. So we built a wall. And the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. For the people had a what? Mind. So to rebuild your life, to give your life to Yahweh for him to build it, for you to release that and be obedient and do what he tells you to do and design it the way you're trusting him to design it, you have to have a mind for that. Somebody say, made up mind. You have to trust him for that. You got to say, listen, I want you to do it the way you do it. Because nobody can do it like you. We put it in their hands. We see these Hollywood folks who have put their dress design in the designer's hands. The designer's not saying what you want all the time. They're like, this is what I got. Right? Good or bad. But you serve a God that he can't be bad. Everything that he does is good. Everything that he creates is perfect. So you trust him for that. So you have to have a mind for him to work on you. You have to have a mind for him to rebuild you. And so this is what we found out. And so last week, we found out that in the building process, we have what are called voids, open spaces. And science is called vacuum. And so we found out that in the beginning, Yahweh created everything. Why did he create it? Because he does not like open spaces. He does not like emptiness. He wants fullness. So he created the heavens and the earth. And we found out in scripture, well, really, before we went to scripture, we found out in science. I told you I used to be a biochemist. Spent 10 years trying to get a degree. 10 years. Some people graduate in 4. Some people graduate cum laude, magna cum laude. I graduated 10 years o laude. Thank you, Lordy. That's mine. Because it took me a long time to do it, but I did it, hallelujah, by the grace of Yahweh. Woo! But I went from biochemistry to preaching, teaching the word of Yahweh. Hallelujah. But it's not a brag thing, but it's, I was given that background of science because spiritually I can see proof. I can see proof in the science that Yahweh exists. I mean, everything that he did was intelligent design. Come on, y'all. If the earth was 1 inch off of its axis, we would go spinning out. Seriously. Just 1 inch. If the moon wasn't there, we would not have the ebbs and flows and the tides and all that. You think that's a coincidence? From a big bang, oh, you just blow up something and highly complex order comes out of that. I mean, seriously? I know how you can test it. Go blow something up. And if it blows up and falls perfectly in order, but Yahweh knew what he was doing when he created the heavens and the earth. And guess what? He knew what he was doing when he created all of you. He knew you. And so when you rebuild and build, they're empty spaces. So when you got saved, let's go here. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter, 13th verse. Romans 8, 13. So when you got saved, right? You are full of junk before you got saved, right? Because then you come to Yahweh because you were tired of sick and tired. You had clubbed and lived and honky-tonked, as Apostle says. What's a honky-tonk? Drinking and dancing and, you know, you had just done everything. You danced in every club that was to be danced in. The bits and apple, the red onion, the Carolina West, the come on. Doolins, what? Golden Tail. Okay, you really dating yourself. So you had done all that stuff and you was full of the everything, full of the misery and stuff. So when you came to Yahweh, he emptied out all of that garbage and created a brand new vessel. Right? But guess what? We go back to the law of vacuum. We're in science. I told you that Yahweh doesn't like empty spaces, so that's why he created. But the law of vacuum says that when a vacuum is created, when an empty space is created, the universe rushes in to fill it. Because it doesn't like voids. This is scientific. This is a scientific law of vacuum. When a vacuum is created. So what happens when you poke a hole? Air what? Rushes in because it's supposed to what? Fill. So you were created with the same thing. You were created to be filled with the things of Yahweh. So therefore, you have filled them with the things of the world. So when you came to Yahweh, he emptied out all your garbage and created a brand new vessel. And that vessel was empty and ready to be filled into. But what did you do? A vacuum was created in your desire to be rebuilt. And Yahweh wants to rush in and fill it, but he cannot rush in and fill it unless you give him the permission to rush in and fill it. He wants to fill you with the right stuff, but you have to want to be filled with the right stuff. So when he emptied you out, right? All those desires and stuff, he knows that you're wanting that void to be filled. So I ain't clubbing no more. What am I going to do? You're going to fellowship in the house of Yahweh. You're going to be moving to his music. Well, I was wanting drugs and alcohol. Well, no longer. He says, I'm going to send you the comforter, and the comforter will bring you peace. The comforter will bring you joy. The comforter will fill you. So here in Romans, the 8th chapter, 13th verse, it says, for if you live after the flesh, you're going to die if you fill yourself up with that stuff. But you, through the Spirit, have to mortify. What does mortify mean? Kill it. So once you left that stuff, you got to say, that's dead. That was the old lifestyle. So why would you come to Yahweh if you wanted to live the old lifestyle? You came to him because you wanted something brand new. Say brand new. With an awesome opportunity to dump the old stuff and to start all over with new life and fill your life with the right things this time. Fill your life with the things that are going to truly satisfy this time. So say, old stuff, you're dead. Say, new life, fill me. Come on. That has to be your desire. So we talked about how he fills those voids. Hallelujah. And go to Jeremiah, the 2nd chapter, 13th verse. I want to show you something really quick. Yirmiyahu, which is the Hebrew for Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, the 2nd chapter, 13th verse. It says what? And he's talking about his children who were supposed to follow him. He says, for my people have committed two evils. My God. Well, he talking about somebody. No, he's not talking about folks. It's not. He says, his people. Who's his people? Don't say them. It's us. Tell your neighbor, that's us. If you believe in God, you're his child. For my people have what? Committed two evils. First, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. Is why he's saying that? Because in him is all the life that we need, and he wants to fill our vessels with living water. So they have forsaken the source. The second thing, say number two. They hewed them out, meaning they fashioned and created cisterns or vessels. So they created their own vessel. Not his vessel, but they created what? So not only did they forsake him, the one that brings the living water, but they have the nerve to fashion their own life. They created their own version, their own vessels, and say broken. I don't care how you decide to fashion your life. If you do it all yourself, it's broken. And I got people running around talking about, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It's broke. Let him fix it because it's broke. You can't fix it because you broke. How can brokenness fix brokenness? Come on, y'all. It's like you broken and You don't want to go to a person that's going to tell you the truth, what to really need to do. You go to another broken person trying to get some counsel, and then the broken person goes to the broken person, and they both stay broke. The Bible talks about it. He says it's like the blind leading the blind, and the end result is that both of the blind people fall in the ditch. So broken plus broken equals more broken. And sometimes you end up more broken than you were when you started. But broken plus Yahweh equals brand new. So it said they created their own vessels, their own life, and what they created can hold no water because it's broken. So rule number one, when you're faced with a vacuum, let Yahweh fill the vacuum. Let spiritual things fill the vacuum. You came out of junk. Why you want to put more junk in? Say, junk is dead. The old way is dead. The new way is life. So that's why you got to be careful of what you put up in there. Right? Because when he cleanses you, wow, it's brand new. So it's like, I got to be careful. I mean, you've careful with other stuff. How many of y'all, you know, cleaned up a room, you gonna got all the junk out the room? One of them makeover shows. You went from a hoarder to a, they took all the junk out of your stuff, out of your place. And now you got a brand new room almost. Because you couldn't use the room before. Any hoarders out here? Don't raise your hand. But if you got a room that was supposed to be a bedroom or a family room, and you can't get nothing in there, you got a problem. But let's say your life, you done got that stuff out of there. Now you have an opportunity to put the right stuff in. So we know that. This is the quick thing that I'm going to do, open up for today. A law of vision. If you see something and commit to it, it can happen. How do I know this? Go here. Genesis, the third chapter. What you fix on, what you focus on, can take place. How do I know this? The garden was created. Say Garden of Eden.
Garden of Eden.
Everything. I mean, I just want to slap Adam if I had the opportunity. Seriously. Like, dude. What? I mean, you had everything. Everything you could possibly want. And listen, don't blame it on Eve. Well, she. Dude, man up. Man up, Adam. He could have stopped that. But now you and me got to go through stuff because they was tripping and they. Tell your neighbor they had everything. I mean, they didn't want for nothing. Oh my God, they didn't have stress. Hello? They didn't have to, like, get up like we did and work like the same way we do, like labor work. I believe that when they had to move something, they just levitated it. That's what I believe. It just moved by the power. I believe all the things, you know, they... Come on. I mean, they walk with Yahweh. So I can't see them sweating. Oh, this is so hard. It was like, Rock, get up. And the rock got up. Rock, roll away and stay over there. Guess what? I believe that rock rolled away and they didn't sweat. I don't believe they sweated. But here we go. 9 to 5. Bus, train, plane. Ladies, I will not even talk about the things you have to go through because of Eve. Childbirth. See, if there was no travailing in childbirth before, I believe those things just popped right out. Because it was no labor, right, Apostle? So childbirth was just like, okay, let's go shopping. So I'm saying now, in a paradise like that, and everything that you saw, Adam was naming all the animals. I mean, everything that he saw, he called it, boom, it was there. He had power and dominion. He ruled. So then we had in the first verse, now the serpent was more subtle, sneaky, than the beast of the field, which Yahweh had made. And he said unto the woman, and this is Satan, he said to the woman, yay, what's up? How you doing? Yahweh said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Because they were, y'all would say, listen, you got all this, you got everything. Don't eat that. Man, I believe that garden had hundreds, thousands, maybe even millions of trees. I don't know. And just one thing, leave it alone. And the woman said unto the serpent, conversation, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, Yahweh has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Now, he told him not to eat it, but he didn't say anything about touching it. Where did that come from? I think Adam said, I believe Adam said, don't even touch it. Because he was like, you don't, you're not going to mess up this thing. Don't even touch it. And I believe maybe he said, don't even look at it. Isn't that what you say when you don't even look at it? Lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you should not surely die. Not the death that you think. Natural death, but it meant that too, but spiritually. What is death? Spiritual death is separation from Yahweh. Whew. And isn't that what we're trying to not have? Separation from Yahweh? We're trying to have communion with Yahweh. We don't want nothing to come between us and Yahweh. Fifth verse, for God, Yahweh, doth know that in the day you eat, your eyes will be. Why was it about their eyes being open? Because so far, they were only able to see the good. Man, In this life, if I could only see the good. I'm serious. I mean, you just want to see good stuff. There's so many terrible things going on, but that was not a part of their universe because all they saw was good. And the enemy knew, get this, if I can show them my stuff, then they'll have something to compare. So they won't be able to see all good. If I can show them my stuff as fake good, then I got them. So if they open their eyes, not only would they be able to see the good of Yahweh and what Yahweh has to offer, but they'll see the fake mess that the devil has to offer. Because tell your neighbor, all they saw was good. Oh, you talk about, what is that game where you slide down a chutes and everything's berries and candy? Is that Chutes and Ladders? Candyland? Am I merging two games? Okay, who knows about Candyland game? Okay, so what was up with Candyland game, right? Everything was what? Everything was sweet. Everything was candy. I believe that the Garden of Eden was Candyland. I mean, figuratively, everything was good. So Satan was like, if I can get them to see my good stuff, that's fake. See, the good stuff of Yahweh was real. If I can show them an anti-type, if they'll eat this and follow my direction, then now they'll have to compete with the divine. So now I'm right up there with Yahweh. So I'll give them, they'll have his choice or they'll have mine. But we know that you either serve him, Yahweh, or you serve the enemy. There's no in between. So what did they do? They chose fake. Instead of real, they made their choice. What does that say? So today, you have a choice. You have good and evil in front of you. What are you going to allow to come into your life? Are you going to allow Yahweh's good stuff? Or are you going to allow the stuff of the enemy? Are you going to focus and visualize Yahweh's stuff? Or are you going to focus and visualize the things of the enemy? Whatever you put your vision on, say vision. Is what will come to pass. So if you focus on the things that the enemy has to offer, guess what you're going to get? Death. Right? Because it says what? You shall not surely. What does surely die mean? Surely die means you're going to die. But not the way you think, or not right now. But why would you trade everlasting life with surely die? That's what he said. Hey, you got a choice. Choose everlasting life or eat it, disobey God, eat it, and get surely die. I don't know about you, but I would have chose everlasting life. I would have said, Eve, miss me with all that. You better leave that thing alone. So right now, the enemy is not going to show you real good stuff, saints. That man that you're looking for, there's an anti-type. Are you going to build your own quality list? What he's got to have? Or are you going to let Yahweh choose him for you? Oh, it's quiet in here today. I've said this before, but I'll say it again. He don't have to be 6 foot
hazel eye. I mean, hey, you know, I'm 5'6". You know, I'm a decent brother. I mean, and there's other 5'6" brothers out there, but y'all think we, come on. Who's under 5'7"? Raise your hand. See, you don't even want to admit it. I know I'm not the shortest man up in here. Thank you, Ricky. But we create these gotta haves. And what I want is what Yahweh has for me. Whatever he has for me, whatever is good and everlasting, that's what I want. And the last thing, and I will leave you, whatever you focus on, Genesis, the 30th chapter, the 37th verse. First thing, let him fill the void. Second thing, be careful what you allow yourself to visualize, what you set your affections on. I visualize a life with Yahweh that I have longevity, I have peace, joy, love, happiness. And all I got to do is just follow his plan. Jacob, or Yaakov, he decided that he did not want to continue to be a hard laborer. He did not want to continue to work for Laban and labor because he was working hard. He had had Joseph, his son Joseph was born, Yosef, and he saw something on Yosef and he was like, I don't want to keep this kind of hardcore lifestyle. So basically, and get this today, he told Laban, he said, Laban, we got cattle here, sheep and goats. I tell you what, if you keep the ones that are perfect, that are one color, and I'll take the ones that are speckled. And speckled meant they were the imperfect. Right? So Laban said, okay, so that meant that, hey, if I bring you, you know, ones that are all one color, you know, you keep those. And then all the speckled ones, you don't want them anyway, I'll take them. So Jacob knew about the law of visualization. So he took rods of green poplar. He took like these branches and of the hazelnut of chestnut tree, and he created white streaks in them. And where the animals came to drink water, he would put these rods, and the rods were spotted. So as the animals were drinking the water, they would see the spotted rods. And because the rods were spotted, whatever animal that was conceived inside of them would become speckled. Because whatever you see and visualize will be birthed. And sure enough, the animals would come and graze, and every time they drink the water, they'd see the spots. When they got pregnant, they would bear spotted offspring. Who knows that? Who knows that? So guess what? All of the cattle went to, all the animals went to who? And guess what? He got rich and prospered. Tell your neighbor what you setting your eyes on. Tell your neighbor, what are you visualizing? Because that same law can work for you. Whatever you want in Yahweh, spiritually, he will birth it. He will manifest it. Whatever he promises, he'll manifest it. He'll birth it in your life. The question is, what kind of life do you want? How are you going to feel your life, and how are you going to see it? Because the word of Yahweh says, without a vision, the people perish. But he who lives by the law, he is good. Who's got vision? Without a vision of what Yahweh has for your life, you will surely perish. But if you embrace the vision that he's given you, if you embrace the plan that he has for your life, I guarantee you, you will be living in abundance. You will be living in peace. You will be living in joy. You will be living in contentment. Father Yahweh, we want to be living in what you have for us, Father. So right now, help us. Number one, fill the voids with you. Second, help us keep our eye on you. Help us set our vision and our future on you. That we'll choose wisely, that we won't be distracted, that we won't be defeated, that we won't choose what's wrong for us, but rather choose what's right for us. We live in your Holy Spirit of discernment, that we'll discern, Father, your promises and what belongs to us, what you have for us is for us. Help us to know the difference, Father. We don't want to be confronted with the enemy's yes, which is a no. We want your yes. We want your victory. We want your manifestation. So help us right now. In Yeshua's mighty name, we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. Maybe there's someone who says, I want that new life. And you're talking about it. I want that today. I want that. I want that. I've made the wrong choices. I want the new choice. If that's you, we can pray for you today. All you have to do is raise your hand. New life. Hand raise. New life. Choice. New direction. It's available today. Second call will be if, hey, you say, listen, I've had relationship, but I need to be restored back because I drifted away. I drifted from his garden, from his promises, and I want to come back to what he has for me. We call that restoration. Rebuild, restoration, restore. If that's you, just raise your hand today and we'll pray for you for restoration. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your restoration. Lord, we thank you for your salvation, all the things that we have experienced today. We ask that you bless us, keep us, lead us, guide us. Let what we've learned today, what we've worshiped today, Father, what we've observed in your manifestation, not only be for today, but carry us on through the rest of the week, Father. We want to live in your overflow, what your promises are, everything that you have for us, not just one day, but every day, Father. So keep that in our hearts and minds and spirits. And then those that need restoration and those that need salvation, Father, give them another opportunity to choose you. We give you glory in Yeshua's mighty name, we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody say hallelujah. Woo! Okay. Going to let you go in a second, but just want our ushers to come forward really quickly. One of the things that we do when we do plant seeds of blessing, sometimes people come afterwards, or sometimes people did not have time to prepare their offering envelope.